Take your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Birth announcements are almost always a time to celebrate and rejoice. Some of you have found out recently of one, or in some cases more than one, that may be expecting in your families. I know that just recently Vicki and I shared with you Lisa and Josh's announcement, our daughter, of their expecting a child. Yesterday we had the blessing of them, both Josh and his mom and sister, and Lisa and Josh, Robert, Aaron, and the family all came over to our house, and they had a gender revealing. We didn't know that they were going to do that. We didn't even know that they were going to find out. At first they were saying, "We don't want to know." And we wanted to be a surprise, but then they decided to surprise us, and so they came over, and it's a girl. Pink's the new Christmas color. So anyway, praise the Lord for that. We even got Vicki out of the house to stand out there and let us take pictures and stuff. And she was a bit hurt after that, doing a little too much. But anyway, she's hoping to be here tonight, Lord willing, for the play. And I had to put her leg up there with her knee replacement to get a little relief from that. But anyway, we'll look forward to that and see if she can make it for this evening. But birth announcements are always, very much a time to celebrate. There's a couple of New Testament birth announcements that we read about. One, of course, was the conception and birth of John the Baptist to Zacharias and Elizabeth. In Luke chapter 1, and we also have announced to us in Luke chapter 1 the conception and birth of Jesus, the Son of God, to Joseph and Mary. And as you read, I won't take time this morning to read there in Luke chapter 1 concerning Gabriel coming to Mary and explaining what was going to happen. And then also in Matthew chapter 1, we have the angel of the Lord appearing to to Joseph in a dream and sharing with him what was going to happen. And by faith, both of them accepted that and surrendered to what the Lord wanted and followed that in obedience. And we praise the Lord for it. But we have here an amazing birth announcement when it took place to this, not just a couple, but also to these angels in Luke chapter 2 that received that announcement. And I've entitled the message this morning, A Birth Announcement. Just simple. Simple. And we're going to look in the first seven verses of chapter 2, and there are four facts about this amazing birth that I want us to consider this morning. So let's ask God's blessing as we go forward. Father, we thank you for this time of year. We thank you for the special information that we have concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's all a part of your great plan. What you had in place from the very beginning, before you ever created man, you knew that we would sin. You knew that we would need a Savior, and you planned it and prophesied, promised it from the very beginning, and we have it fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came as a baby laid in a manger, as a picture of what he would be, as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And we praise you that you were willing in your love for us to send your only begotten Son. We praise him for his willingness to lay down his life for us. And we praise you for allowing that sacrifice to be in its entirety, totally acceptable in your sight, to pay for our sin debt completely. And I pray that there's not anyone here today that would misunderstand the information about Christmas, in that we cannot separate Christmas from Easter. We cannot separate the birth of Christ from his death and resurrection, for it's all part of your plan to pay for our sin debt. May you be glorified through the message today. May our eyes be open. May we be reminded of these great truths. And may you stir our heart to leave out of here anew with a desire to spread the good news of Christ's birth. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verses 1 and 2, the first thing that we see of these amazing birth facts is that it was a timely birth that took place. It says in verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. So we have here this timely birth. In those days were very challenging days. It was a time of Jesus' birth, and it was a dark time for the Jews. It was a dark time in history. Matter of fact, there had been 400 years since God had really spoke through the prophets unto man. 400 years of silence. Had God forgotten mankind? Was God through with mankind? The answer obviously was no. But Christ's birth signified the beginning of the main stage of God's great deliverance. Therefore, we can say that Christmas, like no other time, should remind us of two great things. It should remind us that no matter what is going on in the world around us, and y'all have noticed there's quite a few things going on in the world around us right now, not all of them we would classify as wonderful. There, no matter what's going on in the world around us, and no matter what burdens we are carrying within us, it may be things such as sickness, it may be relationship situations, it could be work situations or lack of, it could be all kinds of things. Burdens that we're carrying within us, no matter what it is, there's always hope in the presence of Jesus. There's hope, obviously, for our sins to be forgiven through his shed blood on the cross, as we just explained. And also, there is help in the suffering of the trials that we go through. He's the faithful high priest that is sympathetic to all that we face, because he has faced also and has suffered both being tempted to sin as well as being going through the testing of trials in his life. Therefore, there's joy, there's good tidings of great joy tied to the Lord Jesus Christ and his birth. Those days were challenging days. Those days were also God's intended days. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, we read, it says, when the fullness of the time was come. All right, stop right there. The fullness of the time, that's God's plan. He had planned from the very beginning. And when they came to the fullness of that time, when he said, this is the time that I want my son to be born, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. What a great truth that we have there. God had a plan. And God went about to bring about that in his time. So it is a timely birth. I thought about that song we sing, in his time. In his time. He makes all things beautiful in his time. God, please show me every day as you're teaching me your way that you do just what you say in your time. God has that time. It was a timely birth. Secondly, we see that it was an inconvenient birth. In verses 3 through 5, we read, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now, we've explained before about being his espoused wife. They were what we would call engaged. It was a little different from that, but it was the same principle. And so their relationship had not been consummated physically, and we have her still as a virgin as she delivered this child. And that was all part of God's plan as well. So we have here this particular birth that's going to take place. She was great with child, as we shall see. And it was an inconvenient time to have to travel from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. And yet, because of this decree that had been given by Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing actually was a census that would be done to figure who and how much tax would be needed. That was in the plan for about a couple of years before it actually hit their area of Galilee. God moved in Caesar Augustus to make this decree so that it would run down, trickle down, and be performed right at the exact time, God's time, that this baby Jesus would be born. Amen. God was in control of it all. Proverbs 21 and verse 1 reminds us that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. God is in control of all things. We sometimes look at the things that go on in this world and we say, what's God doing? I tell you, God takes even sometimes the worst part of man and man's worst deeds and can use them still to accomplish his will. There's nothing that stands in the way of God's purpose. Matter of fact, Dr. Paul Chappell made this statement. It says, nothing that happens in this world can override God's pre-written timetable of biblical prophecies. He is sovereign and in control of it all, even when we don't see him working. It's still true. It's still true. And so it is an incredible thing to think about. Even when we don't see God working, and they hadn't seen it for 400 years, it's a little longer than what we might say, Yet God moved this powerful leader to decree this taxing several years earlier, that it would bring Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem to be delivered as a fulfillment of prophecy in his time, when the fullness of time was come. An inconvenient birth, but all according to God's plan. We could go in, and David shared a little bit in Sunday school this morning about how long of a trip was it from Nazareth to Bethlehem. About 80 to 90 miles. You think about 85 miles if you had to walk it. Now, do they have a donkey? Maybe, possibly. Remember, this is a poor family. Joseph was not a rich man by any means. And so here he is, possibly maybe getting a donkey and having her ride on a donkey. How many of you have been in your third trimester about ready to deliver, and you're ready to ride a donkey from here to Lynchburg? You certainly don't want to walk it. It's going to take several days in traveling, at the least, to get there. There's dangers on the way. It was an inconvenient time as they traveled. It was a difficult time as they traveled. But they didn't have any choice but to travel, because Caesar had made the decree. And God was behind it all. You know, sometimes we have to travel through some difficulties of our own. It may be unpleasant. It may not be convenient, the timing of it. You know, God may, in his graciousness, allow us to look back one day and say, Lord, thank you for where you put me in your time and the way you did it. We don't always understand when we're going through it, but we can always trust him through every step of it. It was an inconvenient birth. Thirdly, it was a significant birth. Here in verses 6 and 7 it says, And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There's so much that we could take apart and look at in that particular verse. But here is the creator of the universe born in a stable in Bethlehem. Like most things in the Christmas story, we have a tendency to romanticize what that looked like. And again, in Sunday school, we talked about a little bit. I didn't know David was going to go into all of those things. But the stable that we sometimes put out in our yard, the manger scene, looks a whole lot better than probably what this actual stable was like. And it wasn't a little wood structure with a nice little roof on it, with animals standing around, and Jesus, baby Jesus, laying in this manger with the hay all wrapped around, nice, cozy, and warm. But this was probably a damp cave. Not only a damp cave with animals standing around, but everything that goes with them. Okay? It was a smelly cave. It was a smelly stable. It was God, in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, Jesus, was born on the dirty, damp floor of this stable. And he did it to become a human being, so that he would be qualified to take our place as a substitute to pay the wages of our sin debt. And that's the love that we see of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a significant birth in that we also see a little bit more description here. Not just this cave here, but the baby Jesus was wrapped in these swaddling clothes. Again, a little bit described this morning. But some look at these swaddling clothes and have described it kind of like a mummy. I think that term was used this morning, and death wrappings. But it was wrappings around the limbs of the child and so forth. It would keep them warm. It would also keep them safe. But if some looked at it as, you know, that's the way you wrap people, or they wrap people in those days for burial. And it pictured that Christ was born for that purpose of dying, which is absolutely true, that he was. But it's also indicated that this meant a little bit more than that, especially to these shepherds that the announcement came to. According to Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, which did a lot of studying there in Israel with their culture and traditions, he says that these swaddling clothes was a recognizable sign to these shepherds in Luke 2, because he believed that they were most likely shepherds of the sacrificial lambs. And he told about, and I'm not sure if this is in that paper that I got it from or what, but it goes on to say that the Tower of the Flock, is what it was called, was a watchtower in the shepherd's field of Bethlehem. It was a two-story stone structure out in the fields. On the top story, a shepherd of the tribe of Levi. Now again, remember, these are sacrificial lambs, and it was the priest that were in charge of ministering to all of that went with it. And so these would have been, shepherds from the tribe of Levi, which was the priestly tribe, would stand watch over the flock to make certain that the sheep were not being harmed. The sheep raised in the shepherd's fields of Bethlehem were destined to be sacrificed in the temple. And according to the Levitical law, these sheep must be without spot or blemish in order to be sacrificed. They couldn't have any hurts or deformities or anything of that nature. They had to be without spot, without blemish, in order to be sacrificed. The bottom floor of the Tower of the Flock was for the birthing of these lambs, and from the beginning, these lambs must be perfect. The priestly shepherd would take the newborn lamb and wrap it in swaddling clothes to keep it from harming its limbs. After wrapping the baby lamb, the shepherd would lay it in a manger until the newborn had calmed down. These priestly shepherds knew this procedure, and when when told, it would be a sign that they should understand the significance of it, and with haste, when they heard it, they ran to see the newborn Jesus, the Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish. Without sin is what it represents. And that's the great picture. A sign, a significance that this child would be born. 1 Peter 1 and verses 18 and 19 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold," but it goes on to say, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." That's exactly what the Lamb of God was, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a significant birth. Think about what Jesus left in order to be born in that cold, damp stable. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, we read this. Apostle Paul writes, he says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven. He left all of that he had in heaven in order to be confined into human flesh, to be born in that wet, damp stable, and to live without a place really to call his own to lay his head, to go from day to day ministering, to die not just a death, but a death of crucifixion, a death of suffering, that he might pay our sin debt completely. Jesus Christ left all of that. When I was thinking about that, I remembered something that took place years ago with my mom. She had just had knee replacement. Vicki just had knee replacement. I get the privilege of waiting upon my wife on certain things that she needs. Praise the Lord, she's able to get more and more done as we go. But with my mom. She was a little older at the time when she had her knee replacement. My sister could not be there that day, so I took my books and Bible and I went up down there to the house to be there to help her. And I set up on the kitchen table there with my books and Bible to study and prepare for preaching. And while I was there studying, I noticed out the back window into the backyard there was four squirrels running around chasing each other out there. And I kind of stopped for a while and began to watch them. One of them came up to the patio there, and he kind of raised up on his back legs and was looking in the window there as if he was trying to see me or see if I was somebody or what. And I told Vicki, I said, the squirrels and I were mutually amused watching each other. But as fun as it might look like these squirrels were having out there, it never crossed my mind to become one of them. Think about that. I don't think I would have liked to become a squirrel, give up Vicki's good cooking, opportunity of preaching and ministering in the word as God has called, and my friends, and give all of that up for a nest and dirty walnuts. Count me out. But count Jesus in. He was willing. Far greater difference than me to a squirrel. Far greater difference, God to human flesh. And yet he was willing to become that for us. It was something that he was willing to do that we need to be willing to accept. What a tremendous, tremendous sacrifice that he made. It was a significant birth. These shepherds recognized it. He was born wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. There was no other child born that day in Bethlehem that would have been like it. It was unusual, but it was certainly very significant. Fourth, why would he do it? It was a purposeful birth. Why did Jesus Christ come? We could take the time and go through all kinds of reasons, and there are several that could be good ones. But there's one that stood out to me that I want to share with you. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." One of the reasons that Jesus Christ came was so that he could bring us to a peaceful relationship with God the Father. To show us the way to peace. I remind you of the story of Paul Harvey that shared about a man that didn't believe that God would become a man to be with us. And his wife had invited him to go to a Christmas service, and he declined. He says, "No, they're all hypocrites." How many of you are hypocrites out there? I think we got an honest person over here. We all try not to be and should not be. But I think we all fail just like in anything else. But she said, "They're all hypocrites. By the way, I'd rather go to heaven with hypocrites than go to hell with those that are not." Amen. Big difference. But we are not to be hypocrites. All right, I'm not saying we should. All right, he said, I don't want to go. After his wife and children had left, there began to snow and the wind picked up, a blizzard kind of coming in, and he was sitting by the fire, and he heard several thumps. He thought, "What is that?" And he went and looked at the window, and there were birds that were caught in the storm, and they were trying to fly in through the picture window. Have you ever seen a bird hit a window? It's not a pretty sight sometimes. They can break a neck and die. And he was concerned for them, and they're going to get hurt. So he went out to the barn, and he opened the door, and he turned on the light, and he said, "Maybe they'll see the light, and they'll come into the barn and be safe." They wouldn't do it. They even started putting out breadcrumbs and thinking maybe they'll follow the breadcrumbs and go into the barn. They wouldn't do it. He even went around and tried to get behind them and shoo them into, chase them into the barn. They just scattered and came back to the picture window. And he thought to himself, how can I get them to understand? How can I help them? How can I save them? And he thought, if only I could become a bird and show them the way to be saved. And it dawned on him. That's what my wife has been talking about that Jesus did. He became one of us that he may show us the way to peace with God. He did exactly that. It was a purposeful birth. Those days were difficult days. God can help us through our difficult days, whatever they may be. God has a plan, and God performs that plan. He has the power to do it. Jesus left the glory of heaven to be confined in human flesh for us, so that he might save us, show us how that we can have peace with God. So my question to you today, twofold. Number one, if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Blackwell, I'm not sure if I've ever come to the point where I have truly trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. My question to you is why? Why don't you turn to the God of and have peace with him today? I've heard people say, I've made my peace with God. And I thought to myself, they haven't got a clue what that means. Because it's not, in our opinion, what makes peace with God, but what does God say is the way to make peace with him. And if we haven't done it God's way, we haven't done it. And so there's only one way that we can have peace with God, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you come to that realization that you need to trust him and him alone for the payment of your sin? If not, why not let someone take you aside today and show you how to make that choice before you leave? Don't put it off any further. And those of us that have made it, are we sharing with others the good news that brings peace with God? Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Good tidings, good news. The gospel is the good news that brings us to peace with God. This time of year, as I said in earlier, is a time in which many people are talking about Christmas and what it's all about and what they think. It's a great time to tell them what God thinks about Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ. It's what it's all about. And making sure that they know the truth of that good news. I encourage you with those thoughts today. You respond as we close the service here. We're going to sing an invitation. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, to school, friends, to work, friends, to family, to neighbors. Wherever he leads, are you willing to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ? If you need to trust him today, will you come today to make that choice? Let's stand together as we sing, please.